Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Don't you like to spend Christmas on Fuckboy Island? How'd you like to get a dick in your ass or in your mouth?
I don't think that's what this is about. Not for the girls.
I kind of wish it was about that.
No one's banging. Maybe that's what's going to happen in later episodes.
Yo, welcome to Fuckboy Island. This is season one, episode
F-Boy Island. Because we're very prudish here.
Season one, episode four, Sleepless in the Villa.
We're very prudish at HBO Max, shows boobs anytime we want to.
It doesn't show enough dick, though.
I agree.
When's the last time you saw dick on HBO?
I was going to say, when's the last time you saw dick? I'm like, earlier this morning.
Oh, really? That's why you're in a good mood.
No!
You told me you were arrested, not bested. Y'all, we're together, if you're wondering why we can sing together. Yes, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm back home. Thank fuck.
We kind of had a cliffhanger. Or a big episode.
Last episode.
When Matt, who was leaving, called Garrett out for having a girlfriend.
Yes.
And they were all so shocked because his F-boyness is apparently not perceivable by any of the women. Especially Nakia, who just was just shocked.
Nakia seems like a nice person, but if you look up bad choices in the dictionary, it's a picture of Nakia just kind of biting her finger like, ooh.
And weirdly, how much she jumps on the bad wagon of the other women's questionable choices.
Well, Sarah didn't have great decisions this episode either, because as we know, Garrett and Sarah were kind of starting to...
Right.
And Garrett is one of the few people that from day one of this show, they told us he was an F-boy.
Yeah. It's also because he's a star.
He is a star.
And we get it.
He's never said, I'm an F-boy.
No, he's an
F-boy.
Did
he actually?
Wait, no, he said he's king of the F-boys, but he never.
But I guess he did, yeah.
It was never a question.
It was kind of assumed the way he just talked about banging a lot of women and that's all he wanted to do and he's here for the money.
Yeah.
Got it.
But however, we've been, there was this kernel planted the last episode where Garrett was starting to have feelings for Sarah. And that was the transgressive kind of thing about this show.
Yeah, I didn't buy it.
And, well, I think that's what the show's trying to do. And I want to bring up something that's going to pay off, hopefully, for later episodes. In that the show started off kind of like Too Hot to Handle as a joke concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's a jokey concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're trying to make something more real out of it.
I agree with that.
And I can kind of get how that's working. And I want you to pay attention. I want you to think about this. When the women are expecting the men to start revealing more about themselves, the women don't necessarily start sharing as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird... weird reverse of a concept.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
I don't know if it's a problem.
Because think about it. Here's why. Especially CJ. CJ's not wanting to really go deep.
But she addresses that.
She does. But
not in this episode.
That's a
but
problem.
She addresses, yeah. But I mean, it's a... I'm interested in the show. I still like what's going.
She's wanting that from the men.
Yes. But I think it's also this show is kind of taking, for instance, this episode, as we kind of talk about with CJ and Casey a lot, the whole thing of this show is that the ball is in the women's court. When these women have felt like they've been kind of subjugated to fuck boys and men's rules and the ball, and men have kind of had their pick of the litter of women, or they've controlled them. I think that's part of the show is maybe, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I think the show set it up that the women don't have to reveal or be as vulnerable because they're in control.
I know what you're saying.
They're like on the throne, and I agree, kind of.
And I agree with you.
I don't know if that works for a dating show at the end of the day.
That's my
point. But I'm saying the show set it up that way that the women are the arbiters.
You're adding to my point that the show starts off as a joke show in that way of this is not going to be a real dating show.
It's like what happens when we
turn the tables and
when things start getting real.
When the Amazons are in power.
Yeah.
And because that's the one place where fuckboys can't that they have to, when the women are deciding who the fuckboys are, it seems like a lot of power are given to them, but I would agree with you. Is that a successful premise for a dating show for lasting relationships?
I don't know. Because really, if women really want the power, y'all just start fucking some women. Fuck men. Who needs them?
or this is really sad, make more money than the men.
Well, at least in America. Yeah, that's
And that's
how
almost impossible the way our system is set up.
You don't need a dick. Fuck a chick.
True.
It's true.
I don't necessarily want to do it, but
no, more for them. It's fine. I'm fine being powerless and tied up.
I'm going to come back to that because this is the episode where I started to see that veil kind of fall.
Oh, for sure. And I think so, y'all. So let's just jump in. So
Nikki is a great host for this.
Oh,
y'all,
she's great.
Always the funniest part. She's being a therapist and asking them and on a couch. And Israel says, one time this woman had two bins of costumes, every cartoon character. And she's like,
And he said, and then Israel makes a confession that I'm not into guys, but I don't care if a guy watches.
I don't care if they watch.
Poodle went somewhere.
I did.
Ooh. I went somewhere, too.
I'd watch, and I'd draw you like one of my French girls.
Oh, Jack.
So
meanwhile, back at the villa, the guys are talking, and Josh is like, they're kind of shocked. They're just like, wow, I can't believe Matt threw Garrett under the... I loved it. Matt was like, I'm a nice guy. I got kicked out of here. Let's just burn it all.
I'm fine with it, too. And the weirdest thing is, Garrett, of course, was more upset about Matt breaking bro code than about what had actually been revealed. And
that's true.
And
that's kind of this thing, these guys, it comes up a lot this episode, and that is what's more important to the men, the relationship with these women or the relationship with other men?
I think it's less about that, and I'm going to actually side on that, on the relationship with being a good person in the community is very important. These women don't seem to think that's important at all. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring up that in a show where the man is looking for a woman in a group of other, lots of other women, that's never been an issue, that the man never cared about the women building attachments.
No, that's true because it's...
So, and it's so weird. And we've had this problem on a show where there was a woman it was Labor of Love, where
remind me. God the hell.
Or don't.
Y'all... We always say listen to our recaps if you don't watch the show.
Skip that one. But Christy, three women, have a real problem when the men start bonding.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they're here for me. And it's weird.
And the show kind of sets that up. We'll get into that in a minute.
But think about it. In The Bachelor, that's never addressed. There's never been a bachelor who says, you know, Jennifer, I think you're spending way too much time with Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And are you here for a girlfriend or are you here for me? And maybe it's because that's the way.
It's kind of a different show, though, too. Well, it's different for a lot of reasons. But it's also the hosts are a little more involved in The Bachelor, so they kind of can.
Yeah, I'm just talking about out. I'm just talking about gender dynamics.
Where, whereas here it's kind of like the guys seem to kind of be thrown to themselves.
Yeah, there is.
The women are to themselves.
So they should be that bonding with one another.
I think the only I like this show a lot actually. But the thing that was the biggest problem had too many guys the first episode.
I agree,
and I think it created that bond, and now we're kind of seeing there's. I don't think the women are attaching to enough. There's too many men to choose from.
Yeah.
So they kind of just get to know a couple instead of getting to know. I think this would be way more interesting if they started off with 12 guys total.
Right.
Or maybe 16 total. But, and then they're really attached to six guys.
And let me just bring up one more thing and we'll go on. Do you. The women seem to think it's a real problem if the guys make friendships in the house. That somehow could that are stronger than their relationships.
I don't know. I think in this instance, so let's just jump in and talk about.
Yeah.
We'll skip around this episode. Let's just talk about CJ and Garrett because that's what we're talking about. We'll talk about all the other stuff, or CJ and Casey later. But basically, y'all, we'll just go to the end of the middle poodle. Basically, well, we're talking about CJ and Garrett. We need to just talk. It's confusing for us to then.
Sorry, I had something on my mind.
I know, but we should just talk about the middle. So we're going to fuck up the order of the show. So I hope you can keep track.
We did talk about this because it's Garrett talking to Casey. That's why I was talking
basically,
about this.
Yeah, Garrett is talking to Casey about this. And then long or the short of this, later on, Casey and.
Let's not jump ahead then. We'll get to it later.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, then we need to bookmark this subject. We'll talk about. Well,
I'll answer
that question later. Then.
Well, no, I was gonna
because it really gets in CJ's and Casey's conversation.
That's what I'm saying. I can wait.
Okay, and so Garrett and Casey are talking, and Garrett's kind of like, it's pretty wonderful, I have to say, because Garrett is gross.
He's a jerk.
He's really gross, and it's kind of wonderful seeing him just be called out. I have no sympathy for him at all.
Not having any being able to explain it. So y'all,
because he is he's a
douchebag.
Yeah.
So Garrett goes over to where Nakia and CJ are, and he's like, "Can I sit down?" He's like, "No, stand up." And
loved it.
I like it too. After a while, it seems petty. The way the women are treating the men, especially CJ.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about how I loved her in the beginning. I'll be returning to this topic.
Okay. I thought it was great. I loved it because
no, I'm just saying it makes them seem small.
I mean, Garrett's
little digs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's good TV. Garrett now says he has to earn her trust again. Y'all remember he's a Bitcoin investor. That's gonna be hard to find. He even says, you know, I've got to get her to trust me again.
Dude, have you thought about cryptocurrency?
Yeah, even in his in the moment, he's like, you know, he tells the camera, because I'm here to find, love. Like, he can't even say it flat out.
Yeah. And then when he does get to talk to her, you guys, she's like, so you didn't have a girlfriend or you did? He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's saying things like, we did break up, but it was mutual.
And Nakia's like, I'm appalled by your response.
Yeah. Again, she's quick to jump on others, even though she's surrounded by F-boys.
Well, but his response at the end of episode 3 was pretty horrible. Remember, Nikki said, you know, she said to him, that other girl, do you think she would be hurt by watching this? And he said, yeah, probably.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I'm saying, I think I'm talking about the whole episode.
Okay.
With her and Garrett.
But I'm just saying, in this moment, I think they are appalled because, I mean, he's basically, they're thinking of this other woman who they think has been hurt by this.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, Sarah, CJ's like, your lying boyfriend's here. And so Sarah comes up and, you know, Garrett's like, I'm nervous. I'm excited. And she's like, okay, last night your explanation didn't cut it. And Garrett was like, I loved it. Because Garrett said, well, yeah, Matt took a low blow. And Matt was saying, did it?
Yeah, she's like, nope.
Sarah just went, nope. We're not here to talk about Matt. Answer the question.
And that's a very fair thing to do. And she's not. she's not being super petty and nasty to him. She's just being honest.
No,
this is what it is.
Sarah kind of becomes a boss, and yeah. I love it. I did not expect this from
she's
her.
She's kind of my favorite of all
women. I did not expect that from Sarah at all.
She's my favorite, my new favorite.
Oh, I'm a stan, CJ. So Garrett says, well, I wouldn't be here if I was with her. And, you know, and he said, and Sarah said, but how did it end? And he was like, well, you know, I just don't want to be an asshole. He doesn't ever answer the question of how it ended.
No.
He still
That's what I'm
her.
Saying. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. That's
and,
what that
yeah.
means.
No, I know what it means. I'm just giving an example. And so Sarah finally says, I'm not buying what he's selling. You can't play me. I'm smarter than that.
And he leaves.
And then he leaves. And so Garrett's like, wow, that didn't go good.
Didn't go good. So Casey and CJ are talking.
Yeah, it's that night.
And he kind of walks up to her, and he kind of does like this. This is a game she's playing, and this is episode 4.
Yeah.
Every time, it's kind of like she's trying to remind him that she's in control.
Yeah.
That doesn't dig at you?
No, I'm just not.
After a while?
That's who she was the first episode. I'm not.
But you can't do that. This is episode 4.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's CJ. She is someone who likes control. So, no, I wasn't. Yeah, she wants to definitely show that she's in control.
But do you think that's a way to – she in her in the moments, mm-hmm. she keeps saying, I'm ready to open myself up.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see that in any of the footage.
I think that's because Casey – a lot of that, too, is because I think Casey's the wrong guy for her.
Interesting.
I think that triggers that in her.
I totally agree with you.
To not let her guard down because she doesn't trust him. Because, you know, we've gone back and forth. We don't know yet. We don't know if Casey's an F-boy or not.
I totally agree with you that he triggers her big time.
Yeah.
In both positive and negative ways.
Oh, for sure.
So, but you have to agree they have the most chemistry.
Yeah, but who you have chemistry with is not who's right for you.
But it's a huge...
I know, but from poodle swath of men he's dated.
But I'm saying you have to have chemistry. But even.
Oh,
then,
yeah, for yeah. sure.
So let's talk about, she starts in saying, why are you married to Garrett?
Yes.
That's her biggest issue.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that she can't tell Casey to move on, and she's like, you came here to find a girlfriend, not a boyfriend. Again, digging at his masculinity.
Yes. Yeah. And Casey says, well, he was my first friend here. And CJ was kind of like, I don't care at all. Like, I don't care about that. And Casey says, you know, does Casey say, he says he didn't know that he had a girlfriend.
He said, he never talked about it.
He said they never talked about it at all.
But again, and I want to talk about this, they're both Nakia, I think Sarah may have talked to it. They get very upset when the men have spent time. They're like, I feel like you're here more for the guys than for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And she says, somebody says, I'm not telling you to. She says, I'm not telling you to defend your. Defend
yes, she
your,
is.
But that's what she says.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to defend your friend.
So basically, she's giving him an ultimatum in this and saying, don't hang out with him. It's the only. And she says, this is really interesting. She's threatening him with his future in the game. She's like, this is your, basically, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And as someone who is a competent guy,
mm-hmm.
I cannot even imagine, it's almost like, does she want someone who's going to completely subvert herself, but she says she loves confidence and cockiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when there's a guy who's doing it,
mm-hmm.
This seemed like he was miscalculating here. But she said, it offends me that you're speaking with Garrett. And Casey, she said, Casey should know the difference from men like Garrett in the competition because winners win. Mm-hmm. In other words, Garrett is a loser. I only want a man who hangs out with winners.
Yes. And where Casey is starting, he gets offended because he's basically saying, this to me doesn't feel like there's mutual respect. And
you know the R word here that I have a problem with.
And what kind of friend would I be if I dropped him? And he tries to sell it, he says, you know, I'm here for you. You know that. And that's when she says, if he wants to be here, winners win. Yes.
This soured me so badly on her.
I wrote in all caps right after she said winners win. I love her.
No, and I knew we were going to fight about this.
We're not going to fight.
No, just have disagreement about this.
But I think what I'm seeing is I'm maybe not taking the show as seriously because the show is kind of, and I think that's one problem with the show. It's a little bit, is this a game?
Yeah.
Is this finding love? Because to me, when I watch a show, this is not about finding love for me.
Oh,
this the show to me is about figuring out who's a fuckboy and who's not, and that's kind of the point of the show.
I totally agree with you. However, this show has intentions to send three women home with men.
But what's intention, what came out? I feel like it's that. So when I watch this, it's not like I don't feel as deep. It feels more like candy to me and not...
I agree with you, but you are, with that, you are throwing out all of these women's feelings
I am,
that they're having.
Because the show feels that way for me, which I really like it. So when I watch CJ, I just had a lot of girlfriends, and so maybe it's that part in me. I've had a lot of girlfriends who've gotten really fucked over.
So have I.
I know, but there is something, and I think the show is playing on that. There is something a little rewarding of kind of seeing a woman treating like a beautiful man a little bit like a dick, because I know so many women who went through that.
I agree, but that's not... This is a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
They are still, you may not think the process or how the sausage is made mm-hmm. is going to do that, but their goal is to show actual love the end.
It is, but yeah, but I'm just saying they're not, they need to sell that harder because I'm not buying that.
That's interesting because ideally that's the only reason to keep people watching.
Yes, ideally. But for some people, I think, but for me, the mystery is like, this isn't necessarily a huge spoiler, but we find out kind of later on who's
right.
fuckboys and who's not.
And so are you interested anymore?
And the show's less interesting to me after that because I'm interested in that component.
And to me, that's why the show decided they wanted to double down on that. And that's, I think that, because we've now watched a couple of the episodes. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and maybe I'm retroactively thinking about this, I'm starting to see the seeds put in to that.
Yeah.
And that's why the show starts to ring a little false to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Especially CJ.
I think a lot of this for CJ is like...
He triggers her big time. Totally
I think
agree.
A lot of this is, look, I do like CJ a lot. Would I be friends with her, like per se in real life? Probably not, because I probably would be hard to have an... It's just hard for, I think, CJ to get real and authentic with people.
Yeah.
And I think what this is more about... is less about him being friends with Garrett, but more just about it bothers her that he's friends with Garrett. And
because
she realizes
she needs to be the center of the attention.
I think it's more she realizes she is freaked out that it bothers her so much because she cares about him so much. And this is a way of,
oh,
let me just block you out.
That makes sense. Then you're not getting
close.
I could see that.
Then you're not getting close.
Queen,
to me.
You are smart.
So I kind of read it as CJ with that, and I think that she I think she talks about that later on, but it I also though as somebody who plays the game, I think Casey is
this is a miscalculation.
I think he's stupid as far as the game play being honest, because this makes him dig in.
This is a real move in a fake game. That's
yes.
what I want to. We're going to talk about this a little bit later.
And I do think there's something to be said. This isn't just a regular dating show where you're like, whoa, somebody has a boyfriend. This show is setting up good guys, bad guys.
Yeah.
At least at the beginning. The first four or five episodes of this show is good guys, bad guys. And the fact that this is actually when, and we'll find out later, as soon as Casey started kind
we
of.
Just jump to it because we're talking about it now.
Is Casey defending Garrett here?
This is their first thing together we're talking about.
Yeah, with Casey defending Garrett here, this in my mind, and we'll see, but I went, oh, I always thought he was a nice guy. And
he's
after
fuck
that,
boy.
I went,
me too.
He's a fuck boy.
This is when I
knew. Because if he wasn't a fuck boy, he would distance himself, yep. but in a nice, but I went, oh.
My vote changed yeah, at this point.
Totally changed at this. And I went, he really is Poodle's type.
Yep. And you know what?
Mine too.
Something turned in me for him. I'm not a big fan of his anymore either.
I'm not.
Especially yeah. by the end of this. But no. This was a, can we just go ahead and talk to about this? Then we'll go back.
Sure.
I just think it's the same conversation.
Okay.
So later on,
when they talk?
Yeah. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but CJ, they have a date later on that night where they're asked to spend the night. And CJ, she invites him. So they've still, and she's even saying things like, I'm asking Casey because I need to find out if he likes Garrett more than me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so she's still playing the fake game. She's still playing the fun.
She does like to be the center of attention.
I agree.
And she said that.
But this would have been okay in episode 2 or 3. But remember, we have 9 episodes or 10 episodes of this show. We're now in phase 2 where you have to start making connections. And that's what Nikki keeps saying. We don't need anybody who's... So I guess I'm going on what they're telling me, and you're mm-hmm. going on the fun show, which is a completely viable way to see mm-hmm. this, or joke show. This is the same problem I have with Too Hot to Handle. They don't know if it wants to be a joke show or a real
show.
I'm
going off of what it's actually happening, whether or not the show says we want this.
Right.
I'm seeing what's happening because... Y'all, I'm telling you now, this is my prediction, spoiler alert, CJ's not going to go home with anyone.
No one.
Because she can't.
Yep.
She can't get to that place in her life.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's, and she might, and maybe doing this helps her realize that.
Well, in what I said earlier is, in a perfect world, the women would go home with no boy. And learn, yeah. and it would be like Too Hot to Handle, where there are workshops with these women on how, especially Nakia.
God,
she needs to know how to not pick a fucking fuckboy.
She's got horrible taste.
But don't you think that's more interesting than... Actually, it's funnier to watch these fuckboys get knocked out. Anyway, but... So later on that night, you guys, she is... They're still talking about... So she actually brings up Garrett. She's like, are you still, still feeling your boyfriend or something like that?
Yes.
And what she wants... is for him to say, you know what, you're more important than a boy in this house. You're more important than a friendship. And I've said this before in shows where, I think I said this about Labor of Love, when you're especially looking for a father for your children or that, mm-hmm. or when you're looking for someone who's a genuinely good person, don't you want them to form bonds with people? Isn't it great to date someone who mm-hmm. has friends,
mm-hmm.
who is not super competitive?
Yeah. That's not who CJ likes today.
it's interesting. And that maybe that's why she always finds fuckboys.
I think it'll take a lot for her to be with a nice guy.
I agree. So Garrett, this is later on. There it is. Where am I?
Where am I? Friends?
Oh. Why is this? Okay, this is much later. Now I'm on it.
You're talking about where they're laying down and they're making out and all that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Why is this so hard for me to find where things
Casey
are?
Casey says, like, there are some serious things that I want to talk about
her.
And Casey, they're kind of making out. Casey's like, okay, this is where I get real. And listen to what people are telling you, because CJ responded and said, I want someone who's fun, cool, and cute.
Yeah, he said, what do you want? And we think this is going to be an actual real moment. And... he starts talking. You can tell her he's like, "Uh-oh, he's getting deep. This is Mayday, Mayday, Mayday."
He should have listened when she told him that.
I agree. She told him.
He should have read their cue.
Well, she did say, "I want a partner to do." She said, "A partner to do stuff with."
Yeah.
And I do think the other two women are more quickly ready to settle down than
CJ.
It's
also hard because all these women are in their 20s. Like, this show would be way more interesting to me. If it was women in their
early 30s. Yep.
Unfortunately,
society doesn't want women who are over 35.
No.
They'd have to be their early 30s.
Because honestly, all these people at this age in their lives should all just be fucking each other.
I agree.
They should.
However, that's not what reality shows in general.
I know. So
she basically, he says, I want you to know this is a two-way street and that you've been all fun and games and using your comedy, but he was thinking this was a strategy for him to...
Wrong strategy.
This is the wrong strategy for her, definitely.
Yeah.
But I understand the feeling behind it because
you can't talk to a snake when they're coiled ready to strike.
Exactly.
And that...
He felt like she was always talking down to him, and he said... She's like, no. And she's like, what are you doing right now? She's just so confused because he's been playing her game, the charming game, for a long time.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he's going to make a real pass because I think he thinks he's making a big move in the game.
I also think, and maybe where CJ's coming from too, we haven't seen them get kind of real with each other about how they feel about one another.
We haven't seen anybody do that.
We've seen them flirt with each other. So I can imagine if it's CJ, I think probably CJ is like, wait a minute. So you're telling me you care about your friend and you want to stand by your friend, but you've never really said, I really like you. I want to pursue this. They kind of just flirt.
That's actually not true. They've had two full dates where they sit there and on the paddleboard and say, they've had like two full dates with one another.
I just don't remember that. I feel like all their conversations are kind of flirty and
I think he's trying to get it to be
trying to have a real conversation.
I blame her for that, honestly.
I think the first real conversation needs to probably not be about somebody else. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
If it's Siege, it needs to be about us.
Well, and I think this was a trigger because he'd had girlfriends who say, I don't want you to see this guy. I don't want you to. So both of them were going off of previous experience.
It is. I think they say this later, but it's true. They're very much alike. And
yep.
I think where I said she is starting to feel feelings for him, I think
he's really into her.
I think he's starting to feel, and that makes him uncomfortable too. Yep. So he can talk about Garrett and use that as his pedestal to stand on because he knows that I don't think he feels comfortable getting close to her either.
You think he was trying to get her to break up with him?
I think it's a bit of subconscious self-sabotage.
Maybe. I don't think he would try to get kicked off the show.
Not kicked off the show, but I think... Well,
subconsciously,
yeah.
But
anyway, y'all didn't go good.
But she immediately says, "You need." She's like, "You're confused, Casey." Again, she's talking down to him, which he can't handle.
No, he can't.
And they y'all, it's a pterodactyl, full on pterodactyl alert.
So Nakia comes over there, and
of course, protecting them. And all this. So this is the interesting way she describes this. She's like, "He's acting all arrogant."
Yes, to her.
Right.
Because he's not paying attention to her.
It's an interesting translation.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to get real with her about her behavior.
Yeah.
And she says immediately he's arrogant.
But see, you don't... I mean,
what is that word for her?
I don't know. I think that word for her is... I don't know. I'd have to...
It was just a very interesting choice of words. And he says he's trying to check me.
Which I think for someone who is not, y'all, people in your life that aren't open to criticism from other people
right.
often do feel like someone's trying to check them or put them in a place
yep.
or lessen them. And he's not trying to do that at all, but that's just her own. She does
yeah.
feel that way.
I see someone.
Because the way he talked to her was very, for the most part, at least from everything we saw, was very real and kind.
I guarantee you this will be very divisive for people because women who've had men talk to them like this, especially yeah. F-boys, will be triggered by it as well.
Yeah.
And I was more, in my own way, triggered by her talking down to him constantly. And part of it is the idea of the game, that the men are... just like completely just bloviatingly like flattering the women. That's the whole thing. Strangely enough, that's not real.
Girls
are trying to get to the
CJ,
real truth.
Remember, you know, I wasn't a fan of CJ the first episode, because remember a guy, the older guy went up to talk to her and she completely just ignored him and acted like he didn't exist. And that's like such a horrible thing, I think, to do to another human. But
that's, I feel like this is the same continuation of the same behavior.
Yes. I think we just forgot about that because she was starting to have realish moments with Casey.
Yeah.
And then it just got too...
Because she was worried.
It's like MTV. What happens when things start getting real?
This is interesting. She says he tried to check me, and he... Then this is his big mortal sin. He's like, come on, I just want to have a conversation. And then all of a sudden it turns into you're at the club and your girlfriend got her other girlfriend and they're not wanting to listen to you. He's like, you know you don't want anybody else. You know... Ugh. This was it. I was like, okay, bud, you've lost.
Yeah.
You're done. Lost.
He's because he's...
He gave it away.
He gave it away, and instead of saying, again, which a lot of people don't say this, instead of saying, this hurts my feelings,
right.
I'm so distraught by this, he kind of just bowed up.
Right.
And it was kind of like, he said fuck you without saying fuck you. Doesn't go good.
This was the realest attempt in the game. This could have been a real change, you guys. And because we've been playing a joke game. That's what I'm calling it.
Because I think because of the way CJ acts, I guarantee you, she's been with a lot of Garrett's.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of guys.
That's why I'm saying this is very triggering for her.
So when he's saying, I want to be friends with him, she sees that as then you're accepting and saying what his behavior was fine. But they never talk about that. Yeah. But if they had actually, if she had actually talked about this has been my experience and this is how I've been hurt by guys, and if Casey actually, you're right, it could have been a really great moment that solidified them. Yeah. But it's just they're both not really capable.
Because
if I just want to add, I guarantee you, if she said that to Casey, of this really hurt me, da da da, he would probably say he probably would come back with, you know, well, what does it have to do with Garrett? That's not. I could see him like still defending Garrett,
right.
And not attuning to her pain.
Yeah, but if she would have said, "I've been with a lot of Garretts,"
yeah,
he would have gone, "Oh, I'm not a Garrett." Blah blah blah.
Yeah, I'm not, but I don't know.
She can't be that vulnerable.
And I don't know if he would make the connection of, oh, by me being friends with him, it associates me with a Garrett.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
But anyway, she basically dismisses him, guys.
It was good TV, y'all.
She goes, I was clutching my pearls.
It was good TV.
Let's go back to that we jumped in time a little bit, but OG Jared and Nakia. When I look into your eyes, when I look into your eyes, Nakia, I feel like I'm the only one here. I mean, we're the only ones here.
Yes, that was Somewhere in Time, the Christopher Reeve movie.
Sing it again?
You know that the theme.
I know,
Somewhere
but
in Time.
I played that this and I didn't even recognize it. No.
That's just what I sing. That's literally Gary, roll the song.
It was out of time.
I just sang that.
Nope, you're incorrect.
Something's up with your ears. You might want to get them checked.
If you sang it in time.
You know,
da-da-da-dee.
No, I sang it with emotion and the way I wanted to feel. No, I made a choice.
I literally played that like 50 times in China.
Well, you think you would know it then. So, yes. So Nakia is... Wait, who are you talking about?
I was the piano soloist.
Oh, God. I'm sorry I brought it up, y'all. You know what? This was actually a good moment because, you guys, we need to take a break.
God, we have not shut up about this.
And so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but That all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
So Nakia and OG Jared are talking, and Nakia's like, I know you and Colin are friends, but this is like, I want to still make, again, she's, this is a same beat of, I want to make sure I'm the most important person.
Yes.
I wonder if any show ever, Bachelor or any other show, where there was one man and there was a lot of women, ever had to worry about this or ever took it as a point.
No, but it's just that's never going to happen with a show where it's one man.
But why?
Because of sexism and the roles of men and women and the way.
Right.
It's just never going to, we're not going to have shows that are.
But why not?
Because.
Why does it happen with women finding men, and it doesn't happen for men finding women? You can't just say because of sexism.
No, well, just tell me.
I'm asking why you think that.
No, because we've had this history of men being in control and men telling women what to do. So if there was a show of a man saying, I'm the most important thing here, and telling women not to interact with other women, people would look at that as very sexist. Is that what you're asking?
I think I'm more asking why because the women have a problem with the men having relationships with one another.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying in a show like The Bachelor, there should be others, but I just don't think it's a concern, and maybe it's just that women find the whole thing feels very competitive, and mm-hmm. so maybe women are too competitive to form real friendships sometimes. But we saw mm-hmm. it with Love is Blind, too. The women did find friendships. The men were never intimidated by them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I'm asking you. Why do you think that's the case?
I think that there... This I think they're the with this show they're I'm imagining I don't know what it's like to be a woman dating so, but with the whole F-boy component,
yeah,
F-boys are known of never being focused on one woman. They're always
right.
They're like they said, they've got two phones, they've always got three women on the line. We've heard
right.
the guy. So I think maybe it comes from more of that place, like, you need to focus on me.
The one.
Because the F-boy is never focused on me. They're
right.
always focused on everyone else.
I get that. I think that's not solving the problem, though. It feels desperate. Every time
but
the
I
women...
think that's probably where that comes from. Because if Maybe. I think back of ways they've described F-boys are described a lot. And the way that the self-proclaimed F-boys have talked.
So they've they can't got focus on one
so
woman.
Many chicks, as they call them. They're talking to so many women all the time.
So it's because these three women have felt ignored.
And they've all been cheated on.
That they all need to be the center.
They've all been cheated on. Not only cheated on, but even cheated right. on by... guys hooked up with their friends.
But even with other men, we're
what?
Saying.
They were with other men?
No, I'm saying, but sorry, even the men having friendships with other men is too much.
It seems a jump of why they would make that, but it does seem, I don't know. I'm just imagining. I don't know where that, you know, I wouldn't care at all if somebody was.
That's the thing. And I think that may be a thing being men.
Yeah, I don't know if we, if we would.
Yeah,
if we would think about we just don't know what that's like, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I can't wrap my brain around it.
Yeah,
I'm too much of a man. Very masculine.
But think about what if the show was all women? What if it was like all women were vying for like a three dating women?
That's true.
Like, how would you feel if a Nakia of a lesbian group told another woman, like, you can't talk to Shanice or somebody?
That's very true, and I wouldn't understand that either.
So, yeah, I don't think I would understand that either.
Yeah. Well, I think that's different because that they would be potentially romantic, but these men are not potentially – they're all straight.
But y'all, if
opposing.
This was a show with just all lesbians, they'd all be fucking each other.
The alcohol would be flowing. They would be sponsored
there
by
would be
Absolut.
So many drunk Brawls. Lesbians making out with each other. Oh, it would – I would watch
that
show.
If you've ever drank with lesbians, y'all, ooh, they can drink.
I would watch that show.
Yeah. They can put it away. They drink me under the table.
So let's OG Jared's talking to her, and then he basically the problem with Jared is he talks to her, but then OG Jared brings up Colin a lot to her.
Yeah, wonder why.
He's focused on another man.
Wonder why.
I don't.
I mean, Colin's my friend, and anyway, so Colin comes over. Jared walks away. Within 10 seconds, Colin's making out with Nakia.
Literally, y'all, not even, not even a conversation. It's like, hey, how are you? Full on 10 seconds, they're making out.
Yeah, now, Jared sees this and goes, now, and he goes back to Nakia to talk to about this, and she's kind of like, so what? So what?
They're talking, I can't pay attention to him because he's sitting by the pool, and y'all, I swear to God, he's wearing Barbara Mandrell boots. There's Sway. Come at me if you remember Barbara Mandrell boots.
His fashion.
Everything is so extra about him. His body, his jewelry, his hair, his skin.
All this at Zara.
It's just
actually not at Zara. This was bought at Top Man.
I bet his cologne is overpowering.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so extra with him. And it's
his whole personality.
And I just go, I feel like you're compensating or trying to distract me from something.
Ooh, what could that be? What could that be? We'll reveal it later. So he's upset about that happening, and she can't understand. Now, honestly, if I was OG Jared, I might be a little pissed off, too.
Yeah.
But Nakia's kind of there. It's the same idea of what. But no, that's the way things are here.
You know, it's hard for, I will say something about the show. Definitely, it's, if men start to get a little upset, it does play. These women, I think, I don't know if they get triggered by it, but it's almost like don't become the angry man.
Yeah,
especially
they really do.
In our culture, angry black man. Like, mm-hmm. We've got those types of tropes. So it's, I think OG Jared is just kind of raising, like, it's just sad when you know what a lot of it is men can't say, when that happened, that really hurt my feelings.
Yep.
That really made me feel like you weren't connected to me. Instead, they get angry.
I still think it has to do with, especially CJ Nakia, Sarah to a lesser extent, But she still has it. Of no, the attention's not on me. The attention, mm-hmm. we're not talking about me right now.
Possibly,
your attention
yeah.
should be, you should be competing with every one of those 23 men.
Yeah.
And that's it. You shouldn't be thinking about what they do.
Yeah.
But in a way, that's not strategy.
No.
So of course they're going to be thinking about what the other men are going to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This, once we're in, we're into the second tier of this show, and the non-realism is falling away a little bit. And this is when I kind of go, just tasting the air and going, some of this isn't adding up for me.
Mm.
I don't know. You guys know me. My bullshit meter's, it's even with reality shows concerned, it's pretty high.
But even OG Jared, he says, that annoys the shit out of me. That pisses me off.
He says he's thinking about withdrawing.
It makes me want to withdraw. It,
come on.
And he doesn't really talk about it. It's hurting. Where Nakia's just like, let's just stop it. We should pick this up another day. And kind of totally dismisses him. So, y'all, it's the next day, and they have this dance-off thing. It's funny.
It's ridiculous.
CJ
it's
tells
fun.
A really funny story where she was in the Weeknd music video as a dancer, and they completely cut her out because she's such a horrible dancer. It made me laugh.
So, basically...
Nakia does say something that is true, y'all. She says... You can tell the way a man is in bed by the way he dances.
That's true. I agree with that.
I've experienced that.
And that pretty much how I dance, especially in a dirty segment, is how I am when I'm in bed.
Oh, Poodle just, y'all, Pup Poodle bumps and grinds to a Viennese waltz. He kind of lifts his hands in the air and he makes this face that's kind of like the Joker from the Batman.
It's really disgusting.
It's really disgusting.
I don't want to see me dance either. I don't blame you.
Fernando dances.
Fernando.
There was something in the air that made Fernando.
So
I have to.
Garrett's
picked last for the teams and it's glorious. It makes me so happy.
He's really eating some humble pie this episode. So, Team Nakia, she's a dancer, y'all. She can
yeah,
move.
And they did. I mean, y'all, we can go through all the dances.
It's fun.
CJ's just fun.
She does step on men trying to. Again, the show is going that way. But then at the end, we have to make. Quote, meaningful relationships.
The thing is I think this show would have done really, really well if someone had the forethought to have done this in the 90s.
Oh,
in the late 90s.
That is so smart.
Because now, y'all, what's happening, what we realize now with Me Too and with all that, we realize sexism, feminism, misogyny just doesn't affect women.
Yeah.
It's even like, what's her name from Harry Potter talks a lot about this in her work on sexism.
Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts. Right?
Yeah.
No, Emma
Roberts. Hermione.
Is it Emma Roberts?
Emma Roberts. That's Julia Roberts.
That's Julia Roberts. It's Emma Watson.
Emma Watson. Thank you.
She, y'all, it's a really great
How speech. Did you just correct me?
Yes. But she talks about how, like, it's not just about training women to be strong women.
Right.
It's training men to be soft men,
right.
to be sensitive men, to be men who respect women. So it's this whole idea that it's like what we're experiencing now with racism. And so
when the women
now
are,
with this, not this show doesn't fully work with that because this show, I get it, wants to be like, you're a fuck boy, you're bad. But
let's flip this on its edge.
But
let's
y'all,
see what
this
happens.
Is a culture that we just made a movie. The best rated R-rated movie of all time was a movie called The Joker, where we saw the humanity of a sociopath who kills people.
Right.
That's the society we're becoming, which is great.
And also the women are, even though they have a problem with hearing the men refer to each other as bitches, CJ repeatedly says he's acting like a little bitch.
Exactly. So it's like,
that's, again, that's a delve at misogyny.
Yeah. Which is interesting to me as someone who's raised by two gay men.
I know.
It's very...
Well, it's like when she calls Casey's boyfriend as Garrett. She really... Yeah, you're right. She weaponizes that.
So it's... Which she doesn't realize she's working into misogyny by calling men bitches.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Because I've never had anybody call me bitch in the bedroom at all, ever.
I would be so turned.
Actually,
I'd actually be really turned off by
that. I haven't had that, actually.
It's like when they say, I want to fuck your pussy to me.
Not familiar. Not familiar.
It turns me right off. I go right out of it.
I'm usually kind of not even really hearing what they're saying at that point.
Oh, for me, it's all about the dirty
just
talk. Kind
of, the pillow's it's usually just over my head at that point, so it's just muffled.
You're so.
I turn around to look him in the eye. Don't look at me in the eye.
And,
okay.
And they're so drunk at that point, yeah, they can't even really say anything. You have to get them that way.
It's so. Yeah, the only thing that's important about these dances, y'all, more than all, Nikki ends up winning. But Sarah's dance is okay, except for, y'all, remember Cameron used to be an exotic dancer? Cameron goes all in.
And everyone was uncomfortable.
Except for me.
Yeah, you like him.
Oh,
I think he's a weirdo.
Watching him bump and grind on her, I was just like, going home, I'm going home. Oh, it was beautiful.
So
Sarah was freaked out.
Yeah.
But y'all know I enjoy a dick dancer quite a bit.
So we will move on. The people who are asked to stay, they get to, I think they get to choose people to
hold
stay,
on.
Right?
I just want to say that, oh, yes, they get people asked to stay. So we talked about CJ picked Casey. So we already talked about that. Nakia picks OG Jared, and Sarah picks Chris.
I still don't know why.
I wrote, girl, girl. Anyway, can we talk about, let's talk about Sarah and Chris in the hot tub.
Oh, this was cringe.
Oh,
he
boy.
He kept saying.
Don't you feel like he's always selling you a car?
Yeah, he's like, I'm looking really good in the hot tub, so I know I'm going to really like get some, make some progress here.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get at least one finger in her. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
He's, y'all, I was attracted to him at first. I can't even watch him now. He's so gross. And that's saying something that I don't want to bang a douchebag.
I think if you were both having a drink in the corner of the library bar.
Oh, I love that bar.
He
combines reading and
that's why I brought
and
it up.
Just sluts.
And if you're in the corner and he starts whispering in your
oh,
think,
in a second.
Yeah, there we are.
Oh, I am just a slut still.
Yeah, you
oh.
are. You are.
I can't, just when I think I've leveled up. I'm still a slut.
Yeah. So.
Still a vinegar baby.
So Chris is like, now's the time when you bring your A game. And so he actually tries to kiss her.
Yeah.
And she's like.
Tries to feed her.
And he tries to feed her. She's like, hey, we're just talking right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was going to lick this off your face. And then does a total like, burp, burp, F boy.
And so the next thing, Nakia is talking to. Old OG Jared, and I want to ask you, when women say this, and I wonder if men say this to women, but I hear women say this to men, especially questionable men, I think you're trouble. To me, that men take that as almost a compliment.
Wait, I feel like you've said that to guys.
Yes.
And men have said that to you.
And they have told me that.
So you
and they were right.
So you answer that question. What is, you're the one to answer. Because no
I'm
one
saying,
has ever told me I'm trouble.
I'm saying, oh, a little.
Yeah, I'd have it.
Oh, God, boy. Give me.
I'm not familiar with this,
but
to be
I'm
honest.
Saying, what I would ask is, I feel like if a man is an F-boy, and a woman says, I think you're trouble. In a lot of ways, he'd think, yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for her, I mean, I'm trying to think of why would Nakia say it out loud? Why would she verbalize it?
Because she wants a bad boy.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you.
Because you want a bad boy. That's why you say it.
So there's a little bit of.
Right? I'm asking that.
Yes, because there's a little bit of the role play of watch. You're a bad boy. I kind of really want to say
when you're making out and someone's on top of you and you feel their hard dick rubbing up against your leg, the id takes over.
Right. No, I agree. So they're making out, you guys, and she says, "When I'm
boy,
making
I went to
out,
a place
when
for a
I'm
second.
Making
Sorry
out with Jared, everything melts away."
Again, she loses all of her little bit of common sense that she has when it comes to dating.
It's a shame because she's not getting her hand on one little thing with OG Jared,
yeah,
maybe.
But you know what I do think it's good for people to watch? Like, Nakia's not a stupid person. Like,
no.
She's a smart person. If we saw her in the world, we'd say, she's a smart person. But y'all...
In relationships, she
relationship
just loses
Relationship intelligence
it.
Is a different yeah. thing than your education, than your job.
Totally.
Because it goes... It harkens back to that
she's
young
a babe in the
part
woods.
Of us, that child that needs yeah. to be loved.
So we skip the CJ Casey conversation we've already talked about.
We already talked about that. So
the next day at the Nice Guy Grotto, you saw this, right? This isn't a secret scene.
Nope. Y'all, they're making milkshakes. They're making protein shakes. It's
I'd love to make milkshakes with these two.
Yeah, it was Matt and who else?
No, not Matt.
Who was
nice
it?
Nice guys.
You know, I didn't even write down
Me
who it
either.
Was because I was just staring.
My hand
at
was
the
in
screen.
My pants.
Great, y'all. They're just at one point they pour milk on each other.
And one just throws protein powder in his face, and it was like, this is like a porn, y'all.
But that, again, goes back to why this show would have been so great in the late 90s yeah. and early 2000s, because those are the things we saw women do
yeah.
in commercials
yeah.
that now we know is wrong.
Yeah,
and so
you're right, it is.
So the show is going off of these nostalgic tropes that we have of women
yeah.
and putting it on men, and it's a little outdated.
I would say 2002,
three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we had coined the term F-boy back then, because you're right, the show is trying to do something like post-Me Too for women to say, we don't need to deal with these F-boys anymore. However, it shows every woman in the three of these women kind of being thrown by them.
Because we used to say, and we're getting away from this now, it's hard. But we used to say, I try not to call women badasses anymore.
Yeah.
Or a badass bitch or whatever.
I try not to say a woman has balls because I don't
well,
say that anymore.
I don't
either.
Say but yeah.
But a lot of people do. A lot of,
in the 90s and early 2000s was to be a strong woman meant you
had to be a man.
Were a bitch. You had to be yep. a bitchy, mean, Devil Wears Prada type of person to make
right.
it ahead in the world. And I think
in
the
show
is
world,
building
that's
up.
Still...
Women. And sadly, it happens still a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway.
So the next thing at Limbro, they all miss female energy. And one suggests building a sand
Israel.
Lady.
Israel said, let's build a sand lady. And he sleeps by her.
Y'all, I think they fucked this sand lady.
Yeah, I think they did too. Y'all, and then Garrett says, I'm shocked that Sarah picked Chris.
Because he's got a little dick.
And that was a horrible thing to say. And the fact that Garrett was talking about their dicks. And then
I was aroused.
He said that his dick is pretty much, he says, big.
I was aroused. And he's correct, it is. I can't really speak to Chris's. It's actually, it's not huge. But I don't think it's tiny.
Chris has a beautiful ass that you want to eat salad
yeah.
on. Just like a good...
Why do you want to eat salad
good,
on
I
it?
Because you want to toss
weird.
A salad.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Get that Wendy's one with strawberries in it and bacon. It'll be great. My mama said it's wonderful.
Oh,
it was
God.
The only healthy salad I could get in Ardmore.
I hate to tell you, that's not a healthy salad.
It's the only one I could get in Ardmore. Everybody said, either go there or Chick-fil-A, but I couldn't have homophobia with my lettuce. So I went to Wendy's.
Is that really the only salad you can get?
Like, decent salad, yeah.
You can get the shake salads at McDonald's. They have less calories than that one.
The shake salad?
Yeah, you shake them. They come in a little...
Who's going to go to McDonald's and get a salad?
Sorry. Just talking about it.
When have you been to McDonald's and got
Never.
A salad? Thank you.
Never. You just talked about it, though. So the next
like
day.
Going to Brahms and getting sugar-free sorbet.
The next day, the women are talking to Nikki, and CJ's got on black lipstick for some reason. What are your thoughts on black lipstick, especially during the day?
It works better on darker skin tones.
It does,
but I'm not really a fan of it.
Yeah,
it's
a choice, but with a certain dramatic makeup, it works.
I like makeup that brings out the features of you.
Yeah,
unless it's a costume, black lipstick makes people look at your black lipstick.
Yeah, you're right.
Whereas a pretty red lipstick makes people go, wow, you have beautiful lips.
It's, I understand if you're using it like as a, if your makeup that night is very exotic and it does work better on especially black people.
Yes.
But
love
even,
it.
Even though CJ is darker skinned than others, but it just looks severe.
It looks severe, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
So they're talking about Casey, and this is an interesting way on how she explains this to Nikki. He said he wanted to establish who was in charge.
Yes. And so think about it. Women feel like they're not in charge
right.
of fuckboys. And so that goes back to, I think it's this fuckboy thing of I'm making sure it's a, I think it's a way, honestly, CJ, they all talk about they don't know their pickers.
Right.
And CJ said all along, I don't know if Casey's a fuckboy or a nice guy. If she's not in control,
right.
she's not going to feel safe with
no,
him.
No, I just think it's so telling.
Yeah.
The way, and, but now I want to ask one more question. Let's say, because what happens after this show? What happens? Ideally, the women find their nice guy or they reform their fuckboy. And the ideal of the show is they live happily ever after with this nice guy or mm-hmm. reformed fuckboy.
Yeah.
How do you build a relationship on with the woman in charge? Always.
Yeah, I don't think the show's thinking about that kind of stuff.
But I'm saying the ideal of the show is that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Casey was trying to go so clumsily
mm-hmm.
and miscalculatingly, if that's a word.
I like it. Can you want to talk about elimination now?
Yes.
So
she's in CJ's in mourning for
she's in black.
She's lost hope. This is when I kind of went, oh, you're on this Spia show. You're not on this, and so stop being sincere about it.
No, and I don't think she is very tongue in cheek. And so CJ,
no, it's not even tongue in cheek. This is just she's having fun and saying something else in her confessionals.
Well, yes. And CJ picks Casey and Kevin. Sarah picks Cameron and Anthony. Don't remember Anthony.
Nope.
And Nakia picks Tariq and Paul.
Don't remember Tariq at all. I don't think I've ever seen him.
Nope. And so Sarah says to Anthony, you don't really know us. And she said to Cameron, the lap dance wasn't great. Didn't go
any didn't go good.
And even Cameron says, my mom's not going to be happy to see that. Nakia says, Tariq, I tried to tell you to make a connection. You haven't. And Paul, she said,
you're a nice guy and everyone loves you.
We love you, but nobody feels romantic.
Yeah.
And CJ, she picks Kevin because she said, you don't have a connection. And Casey, she said, last night was messy and I don't do messy. And so that's kind of where we are. And so the end pick is Sarah picks Cameron to go. Nakia picks Tariq to go, and CJ, because she's not going to pick Casey.
No, because she's
Kevin,
playing a game.
Because she's playing a game. That's when, and I was like, I watched this, and okay, that's great. And then Nikki said,
wait a minute.
And I went, baking powder?
What? Baking powder?
Baking
y'all,
powder.
Y'all, tonight is different. You know what? I'm going to pretend to be Nikki, and Poodle, I want you to do this is our first personal reenactment.
Oh.
I'm going to be Nikki, and then I want you to do your reenactment
okay.
of when you watch this.
Okay.
Okay, and action. Hello, I'm Nikki Gleiser, and tonight, however, is going to be
ooh, I can't wait.
Different.
You can go fill up a drink.
Everyone's going home. All six of you are eliminated.
What? No! I can't believe this shit. No, no, no. Not Casey. I did. I screamed what?
I know. I mean, I was didn't scream. I think I was in an airport when I watched this.
So now it's interesting. And then you see.
We're saying goodbye to all six of you.
You see CJ go, no, that's not possible. Because she, unlike the other two women, she had no intention of eliminating Casey.
No.
She wanted to punish him and show her. Her dominance over
yeah,
him.
Yeah, for sure.
And We haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I feel like the producers saw that, and this is where I think like they're starting to fuck with her a little bit.
Yeah.
And you guys, when they say this, that means all six are going home. We find out who is a nice guy.
Oh yeah,
and
let's
who's
play
a
our
fuck
game.
Boy. So I got all these right.
I think I did too, actually. Yes, I did.
Actually, no, I was wrong. I got Kevin wrong, but we'll go through this.
Okay.
So Paul, nice guy.
Nice guy.
Ding.
Ding. Tariq.
Nice guy. I like who? So yeah. I assume he was a nice
Cameron,
guy.
Cameron.
Nice guy.
A nice guy who's an exotic dancer. No, sign me up.
Because this is strange. The nice guys have the hardest problems relating to these women, you guys.
They do. Because
what does that tell you?
But that's what this show, these women always choose fuckboys.
Yes.
You know what I do like about this show? What this show, I almost wish, I like that Nikki is a host. I almost wish it was Nikki paired with like a therapist or something.
That's what I was saying about Too Hot to Handle when they would do.
Like, what's the show that we love so much? The best dating show that season we saw that was the best, the MTV show.
Are You the One?
Y'all, if you haven't seen the polyamorous season of Are You the One, we're going to say again, one of the best. But I think that it was
Dr. Pepper Schwartz. No, that's
Married at
First
Sight. But it's this idea of we and if we don't become conscious of our patterns,
right,
we repeat our dating patterns. So, but
Exhibit A, Nakia.
And so, y'all, Anthony.
Fuck boy. We knew that.
Kevin. Fuck
what?
Boy.
Kevin, I never heard him speak a word.
Never heard him fuck, but I was
I
like,
said he was a nice guy.
Yeah, I called him his fuck boy.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, we find out Casey.
Fuck boy.
Is.
I had cemented it by now.
And so you weren't surprised when he said it.
Mm-mm.
And then Casey says, I mess up one time. And CJ says to him, she's like, this isn't my idea.
Right.
I wasn't going to send you home. I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, but just.
And I think this is what underneath is. CJ knew he was a fuckboy.
Mm-hmm.
She knew. She didn't want him to be, but she knew that she knows what that's like. And this is, honestly, this is the first time I think both of them were real in front of each other.
This is
because they both
real.
Had to say, wait a minute, but I care about you and I care about you. They both have been playing a game.
I totally agree. But what happened after you guys, not on her part, cause she just kind of sat there.
Yes, but that
this
happens.
This was real. This was motherfucking real.
It was good. And Casey says, well, I'm going to say my piece and scene. Show ends. And
we'll
Poodle,
see you the next episode.
What did you do
bitches.
When the show ended?
I immediately watched the next episode because that's what I do.
That's what Poodle does.
Even though I was told not to, I did it anyway. And then I watched episode 6 after episode
then,
5.
And then he goes off on tangents. But that's
I had a lot to say this episode because I feel like you're exactly right that this was real and this catapults us into this second tier of the show that doesn't necessarily work with the fun show
had. What I like about this show, and you've watched way more than you said you didn't, I kind of like it that this show is, remember y'all, the people that produce the show, and there's a great article in Deadline.
Love is Blind.
I don't know if it's Love is Blind and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
They're the show creators of this. A woman and a man mm-hmm. are the show creators of this. Did you read that Deadline mm-hmm. article, their interview? It's a great interview, and I kind of love that this show is saying, we're setting up these rules, then we're totally not even paying. Y'all, we still, to this, even Sarah's commented, no one knows how you win the money until the last episode.
Oh, my God.
No one knows.
I will say, I'm okay with the rules being changed. I'm not okay with the ethos and the ideal of the game being messed with. And I think that's where I am.
We'll see how the show works when it ends. Because
any show has to have some type of emotional
heart. We're
going to
eat crow because we have strong opinions. And then at the end, the show completely manipulates us and we love
it. That's what I'm saying. We're manipulated because we want to see, we love reality shows about dating and love.
We do. We love love.
It's the most compelling.
Love love. Y'all, I also love the bathroom. I gotta pee.
This is a long episode.
We're ending this show. I'm glad we're two times longer than the actual episode. But you know what, y'all?
I had a lot to say. I'm sorry.
Can you put a butt in it for next episode? Please.
I'll try. Please.
We'll see you next time. Until then,
go fuck poodle. Well, me.
Wait, if you live in the Los Angeles area and you're a fuck boy,
fuck me.
Come fuck us. Fuck us.
Fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.